Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are so excited today. We have a very special guest today. Y'all are going to be so excited because I am here with Hall Star extraordinaire Katrina Law and writer extraordinaire Tracy Andreen. And yes, who are both part of this upcoming movie, Christmas with the Darlings. So fun. I'm really looking forward to it. And thank you both so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So
yeah, we're really excited because we haven't done an interview together before. So this is a first for us.
I know.
Well, Tracy, you've done a couple different interviews with us. And so why don't you get people front? Why don't you tell the listeners your connection to Katrina aside from doing these movies together?
Well, I mean, basically it's, you know, I can't seem to avoid her. It's been 15 years at this point, you know, she seems to be sticking with my brother. And so I guess we're going to still remain, you know, sisters-in-law.
Yeah.
And Katrina is the love of my youngest brother's life. Aww. And the mom to the most adorable Kinley, and is in her own right an awesome human being, and she's a super fun person to have in the family. Hi, Katrina.
Hi, Tracy. I see you got my bribery check about saying good things about me.
You're like, you just keep showing up at family parties. Why are you here?
I know.
Yeah, marrying her brother was really just a secret ploy to stay in Tracy's life.
That's right. It's like, you know what? I know we're only in the mid-aught years, but I sense that Tracy at some point in the future will start writing for Hallmark. And you know what I want to do? I want to do some of these, even though, you know.
Yeah, I was playing the long game.
Long game. Yeah.
Good planning on your part.
Thank you.
Katrina. Yeah. Well, we have to hear, this is your first time on the podcast, Katrina, so welcome. I know people will be very excited because we've got a lot of Snow Bride super fans that listen to the show. We'll have to hear your backstory. How did you get into acting, and how did you meet Tracy's brother, and
Keith.
How did all this happen?
Growing up, I was a singer and a dancer, and then one day Nora Ephron's Lucky Numbers came to town, and they were looking for background extra players, and I was like, oh, I'll do it. And I was super excited and did that for a day, loved it, basically bribed my way onto set and volunteered to be a PA for free. And then from there, she was looking for teenagers to basically scream at John Travolta from a passing car, and I was like, oh, can I do it? And she said yes, and then basically Nora Ephron got me my SAG card, and then I just realized I loved that industry, and then after that I just kind of moved out to LA and pursued the dream. And I met my husband Keith, Tracy's brother, through bartending. We used to bartend across the street together, and like I said, I wasn't going to marry him, but I was like, oh, I got to keep Tracy in my life somehow. So I married him. And then to make sure, and then to make sure she really never got away, I decided to have his child.
The golden child.
Yeah. So, and here we are. That's how it's going.
So this is totally exciting planned. Because I'm a huge Nora Ephron fan, and, you know, Lucky Numbers is notoriously, she got an F cinema score.
Which it wasn't because I was in it.
I think it was a little harsh. I really do. I don't think that movie's that bad, but it's so nice to know that something so good happened from Lucky Numbers. Now,
it did seem like a really random experience altogether. But it got me to where I am, and it seems to go along with the theme of my life. Yeah. So we're just gonna go with it.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm feeling better about that movie now. So good job. Way to go.
I have to say, I actually never knew that story. How did I never know that one? Especially since I love myself some Nora Ephron. I'm listening rapt with attention. I'm like, really? Yeah. tell me more, Katrina.
There's like no movies that get F cinema score, for people that don't know, is the score that the audience gives. They pull the audience after the film and then they tabulate it, and like a bad score is like a B, because most people, your average film goer, when they go to a movie, most of the time they're like, yeah, it was fine. And so it's like considered kind of a bad score if you get a B or a B minus. So mm-hmm. if you get an F, well, it means they hate
it. Yeah, well, you know, it was a group effort. And if you're gonna go big, go big or go home.
No, I like to think about that's it. Right. Yeah, right. This is your base though. You started at that and you've gone just nothing but up since then.
I was like, guys, if this is all it takes, I got this.
Yeah. I mean, at least with Lucky Numbers, Nora didn't write it. It's the only one that she directed that she didn't write.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah, that's which is probably the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember there were all sorts of kind of like weird shenanigans that were happening on set that I don't necessarily think were part of her control. And I remember like actors like shutting down set days on their own and because it was so cold, and it was so stuff like that was going on that she was probably like,
Yeah. But that helped you get your card. That's so funny. I love that.
What was your second one? Sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, you're fine. To interrupt. I was just curious. Go ahead. Kat, what was your second thing that you got that was kind of note or role of note?
We did a bunch of like little things here and there that a lot of them never saw the light of day, which is probably a good thing. But then I remember my first job in Los Angeles was Reba. I think it was Reba, or maybe it was North Hollywood.
I love Reba. I mean, I love her as a human, but I also love the show.
That was cool. I was a bitchy prom queen on that one.
Yes.
So that was that one. Really? Or so if it wasn't that one, then it was a North Hollywood shootout, or 44 minutes, a North Hollywood shootout, where I was teamed up with Michael Madsen, and that was fun.
Oh,
but I actually didn't, I auditioned for the part that I got, but I didn't get it. And they were like, oh, well, we think you're cool. So do you want to be like this cop in it who directs traffic? And I was like, sure.
Yeah, take it. Which that's right.
Yeah, it was like two lines. And I was like, awesome. But then apparently like, Tia Carrera got offered the part, but then was like, I need more money than what you're willing to provide, which is not a lot of money, whatever. And so I was like, they were like, okay, well, we can't pay you that. But hey, Katrina Law, do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah, basically I'll do it for free, whatever.
So
you're basically Johnny on the spot.
Yeah.
So they cast me the day before I got on the set as that part, because I thought I was going to like rock up and be like a cop with one line. And they hand me 16 pages of sides. 16.
Yeah. Can you memorize these by tomorrow?
Oh my gosh, it was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster. Like there was nothing redeeming about this. And basically, they kept changing the lines because, again, they had these actors who were just like the meathead actors who, they were very nice guys, but they were not easy. They didn't like the script as is, so they just kept kind of making things up, and the director really had no control over it.
Oh my gosh.
So it was one of those situations. But anyway, they kept changing the lines, and it was 16 pages of lines they kept changing. But here's the problem. I'm a reporter, and I'm speaking directly into the camera, reporting on events that are not happening. And to be honest,
writers love?
Yeah, and
when actors change the lines.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what writers really love? When the actors don't know the lines, and then they just kind of don't say anything. So basically, I basically didn't even read the script because they had just given it to me the night before. They gave me these sides, and I was like, oh my God, so I'm trying to memorize. And of course, like when you memorize something and you haven't said it out loud, the first time you say it out loud is a disaster anyway. But then they changed all of that. And like I said, they just kept changing it. So that by the time it got to me on the camera, it became 4 hours. And they ended up like cutting most of it down because they were like, oh my God, this girl is terrible. They had to zoom in on the camera, as I said, one line. And then I would just say that same line again, and they would zoom out. And that's how we did the entire thing, one line at a time, because I was so nervous, so terrified, had no idea what was going on in the script or supposedly around me. And I had no idea what my lines were. And they were just like, oh my God. But then here's the beauty of it. 2 weeks later, I had to come back on a set and my scene was with Michael Madsen. And I was like, no, I've got this. And I got on set and I nailed it. And Michael Madsen was like, you're going to go far. You're really good. And I was like, thank you. Don't look at any of the dailies from the first day. And
that's, so that's, I think
the star was born.
I think we all need to hunt down a copy of 44 Minutes, the North Hollywood Shootout. I think that's clear. You can contact me at hallmarkiespodcast@gmail.com and if you find a copy. That's right? Great.
Yeah, I feel like that was scored better than the Nora Ephron movie though. So
like I said. Okay, that's not tragic. That would is it, just tragic. I
would
mean...
it get an F cinema score?
I don't probably think not. So. I probably got like a D or a C. Again, all right. I barely had a big part in, so I'm not going to take credit for that either.
Yeah. yes. So Tracy, how did you end up writing Snow Bride? I'm assuming you wrote it before Katrina was involved.
Maybe
not. Yes.
Yeah. No. Okay. It was that was the very first full movie that I'd had. I'd had a couple of shorts made before that. But this was the first full movie that I'd written that had gone into production. And it came about because my friend Lee Friedlander, who has directed some of the stuff, she's done a lot of Hallmark work as well. She called me and this was, way back in 2012. And she called me up one day when I was working at the Milken Institute in administration and kind of says, hey, can you write a Hallmark movie? And I was like, I'd never seen a single one of them. And I said, yes, because of course you always say that. And she's like, great. She goes, so she knew a producer, Tim Johnson, who'd done a bunch of these movies. And basically she had she's very good at sort of finessing her way and smooth talking things, which is great because I'm terrible at it. And she basically, we were friends and she, sort of friendly acquaintances at that point. And so she'd read my stuff and liked it. And she was, hustling around. So she basically cornered Tim somewhere and he got him to say, all right, get me a script, give me a Christmas movie, use this title. And the title was A Bride for Christmas. And he said, find me your writer, because she was pitching me to him. She's like, fine, if your writer can, come up with an idea for that, we'll go from there. So she came and she says, come up with an idea for A Bride for Christmas. So I do, and I send it to him and we come back. And then the three of us were talking and we completely flipped things around, changed things around. And I got the go ahead. And, long story short, not the least of which is it was no longer called A Bride for Christmas. And the story changed significantly by the time it became Snow Bride, but it was going forward. And by this point, Kat, you'd done Spartacus you were, I don't know what season, I don't know if Spartacus was over or if it was still going or where it was, but she was just coming, I think just coming off that, and Snow Bride was gearing up. And I had already sort of begun the process of pitching Katrina. Actually Lee had as well to, the future producer, Michael, and also the director Bert Kish, who's just an amazing guy, God rest his soul, he's unfortunately no longer with us, but he knew Katrina, and she can tell you this story. But from my perspective, I'm sitting here, it's me and Lee, and we're pitching I'm pitching Katrina to Michael, and Bert overhears me and he's like, oh yeah, Katrina Law, she's great. And I'm like, I think he knows, as I'm pitching Katrina, I think he's overheard me saying that she's my sister-in-law. And I'm like, yeah, right. And we suddenly realized that no, he hadn't overheard. He actually was working as a DP on a movie Katrina, an independent film Katrina was shooting the name Valley. Of it again? Cat? Death Valley. And Death Valley. And so he was just happened to be shooting that. And he was actually pitching Katrina to Lee. So this was just kismet, really, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And that's something Bert and I talked about. We were like, this just feels right. So then the kind of, I think by this point we were in, it was January, and we had just come back from you, Katrina, marrying Keith in Costa Rica. And we were gearing up, it was 2013 by this point. And maybe it was even February. I'm not really sure where we are, where we are in right now. Anyway, but definitely, so, but it was something like, it was definitely the winter of 2013. And so we just had to, at that point, convince the network that an actress who was coming off Spartacus could totally do a rom-com, you know, which, you know, that, and I was basically like, no, I swear to God, she's funny. I swear to God, she's really funny. She has really good, you know, yeah. rhythm. And they're like, okay, you know, and then obviously she got it. And, you know, because Bert was pushing for it too, because in real life, Katrina is a rom-com. And fortunately for Keith, not someone who is inclined to, well, occasionally maybe do some Spartacus, but you know, that's a whole nother story. But yeah, no, it worked. It, she came in and she kicked its ass. So sorry. Yeah. I'm not supposed to say that. Sorry.
So kicked its. That's all right. That's all right. So
tushy.
Is this something that when you have a script, do you normally kind of say, I really think that this actress is a good part fit for the part, or is that something that you just do for family?
100% only something I do for family. As a writer, you really have no power in this business yeah. whatsoever. And for me, when I was doing Snow Bride, I essentially was like, look, I didn't know if this would be a one-off. This would be the one and only movie I'd ever get made. And I just thought, look, I'm going to go for it. Mm-hmm. And I know this is not normal, but I'm going to, and I knew Lee also really liked Katrina and really wanted to have Katrina. I was pushing it because Lee was the producer, one of the producers on it. So she and I, when we both sort of were pushing for it. And then, you know, once we were all behind Katrina, then it was just a matter of getting the network to sign off on it, which fortunately they did.
Yeah. So were you super pumped about this, Katrina? Like, oh, wow, I'm getting this part. Like,
that oh, yeah. I love nepotism.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. That's right.
I thought you were going to say I loved the script, but you were like,
oh, the yeah. script was amazing, and I couldn't wait to just sink my teeth yeah. into this character and bring her to life and yeah, figure out who he was.
Were you excited though to do something different from Spartacus? Is that
I was so excited. Yes, I was very excited that one Tracy was taking a risk on me and having me be, you know, because this is nepotism put aside, this is her career and sure. this is her name, and this is, you know, this impacts all of her future projects. So coming on, I was like, wow, she really believes in me and is taking this chance. But then I was also like, oh my God, if I mess this up, I'm gonna have to have like triplets. It's gonna be crazy. So I
remember you already married Keith.
Yeah. I remember on the first day almost hyperventilating because I was so nervous and so scared. And the beauty of Bert Kish being a friend and also the director of this project was that he was just so, like, if you knew Bert, he was so calm, and he had this like satanistic type of humor that was just very underplayed, and it was very good towards calming me down and just making me chill and being able to bring out the funny and save my relationship with Tracy, which, you know,
was... Yeah, if it had gone badly, I mean, that it could have been some dicey Thanksgiving dinners.
Oh, right.
I'd be like,
forget politics.
That's the potatoes. Thanks. Right. Forget politics. Ruin Snow Bride. Way to go.
I single-handedly ruined your career.
So we.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
But it's a fan favorite. As I said, people love Snow Bride. And why do you think, Tracy, that it is one that's kind of stayed around and become a fan favorite?
Okay, so I'm just going to be blunt. I think it's because it's funny and it's a little different than a lot of the ones that we see today and where there's more of a traditional romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. Than that the audiences are sort of more accustomed to from many, many years. I mean, because that was how I approached it. I have I had worked in film development for many years for like Mandalay Pictures and DreamWorks and Amblin. So that was my background, and I had read I don't even know how many rom-coms and had written many of them. So that was how I approached it. And I think that that's how it comes across as, within the Hallmark parameters, but just a little different, Bert is also very, very funny. Mm-hmm. And he helps sort of elevate the humor of the story. Katrina manages to, you know, she has an excellent, and I'm not just, you know, kissing your tushy because I want to see my niece again someday. She has excellent comic timing. Uh-huh. And so I think those were big parts of it. And I think that's what makes it a little different.
Yeah. You agree, Katrina, about why?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more slapstick humor and mm-hmm. Just physical comedy in this movie mm-hmm. compared to a lot of the movies that you see on Hallmark, mm-hmm. which are very lovely and very heartfelt. And like, there is a lot of heart in this movie as well, but there's usually not as much comedy. Mm-hmm. And like little things that Bert would do, like for instance, there's a part where the ex-girlfriend is discovering who my character really is, and he had her sitting in front of the fireplace, and he very gently turned the gas up higher in the fireplace, so the flames behind her were just getting bigger and bigger as she was realizing, oh my gosh, I'm gonna destroy this woman's life. So little things like that you just don't normally see in most Hallmark movies, like the genius of Bert Kish. So.
Yeah. Yeah, especially from the heroine, because now they don't allow the heroines to do anything sort of illegal or slightly shady, and they'll say like, oh, this person is my fiance when they're not, or something like that, but they that's about as dishonest as they'll get. And for her to be a tabloid reporter and I think it has a bit of an edge that a lot of these others don't have.
Oh, yeah. We also had stunts. We had that you don't see Hallmark. There was this huge hill that my character yes. rolled on, and we actually got Judy Foster's actual stunt double to come Jodie Foster's actual stunt double to come in and do this rolling down the hill in a wedding dress stunt. And I was like, this is legit. So
it was.
I was going to ask, did you just hate wearing that wedding dress?
Oh, so much fun. Getting to, like,
the big puffy sleeves that it had.
I
loved it.
Destroyed by the end of it. If I had to keep it pristine and white, then maybe it would have been a different story, but that was my element. I was like, oh, you want me to destroy this dress in a really clumsy, haphazard manner? Got you.
Mm-hmm. So what was totally it like with Patricia Richardson? Because she was a pretty big, I get at that point, right? She was kind of the star of the movie, I think, when it was first released.
Yeah, working with her was just a wonderful masterclass in acting. She's so subtle, so grounded, was kind and friendly, and that little twinkle in her eye as she's watching you act, you're kind of like, are you looking at me or are we acting? What's happening? Mm-hmm. So it was a little intimidating because she is amazing and she's hysterically funny. But she made me, again, I think between the combination between her and Bert and pretty much the rest of the cast, she just made me feel so safe and welcomed and supported that, you know, it was hard not to just have a blast working with her.
Yeah. That's great. I really like, she's fun. She's perfect for the role in the film. And do you have any other sort of memorable things from the set of that, from the shooting of that film that happened?
So one of the fun little tidbits is at the end when my best friend gets married, she's actually getting married to my real life husband.
Oh, no way. That's funny.
And my best friend is the actual girlfriend of one of the producers. So it was kind of this very non Hallmark family oriented ancestral going on.
That is funny. Has there ever been any talk of a Snow Bride 2?
Lots of talk. People are desperate for it. So I'm going to be pitching Tracy.
Yes.
I have ideas, but I don't think that they're not, you know, I had this whole idea in my head about where I wanted to take it, but I was basically told, no, they don't want to do sequels. So I was like, all right. I was going to call it Snow Brides, plural.
Ooh. Oh, see, that would be fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Snow Brides.
I think you pitch it now because it's a new world at Hallmark.
What do you think that
it is a whole new, I will say it is a whole new world at Hallmark. This is a,
Well, and I feel like even this year is quite different than the previous, at least it seems like it's going to be compared to the previous years that we've done the podcast. That
there's,
I don't know,
an overlap, like I will say.
Yeah. I feel like they're taking a little bit more risk this year than they have the previous 2 years. So hopefully
there's going to be more diversity this year, but I think that it's there's still, I know with Christmas with the Darlings, which is what we're, the movie that Kat's in now, it was conceived and greenlit under the previous administration. Maybe I'm watching too much politics, but it's under the previous administration, and so it still has sort of that influence on it, which is all good. It's just, but it's just, it has definitely those sort of a lot of the buffers on there. However, about midway through, we were able to sort of like loosen up some things, and I'm gonna let those surprises hit you when you see them. No spilling, Katrina. And well, yeah, that'll show that this, there's as traditional as this one is, there are some untraditional aspects to it within. So we'll see. I know that a lot of the, you know, obviously COVID affected shooting in a lot of ways. So a lot of the Christmas movies that were originally planned to shoot in the spring and the early summer, or the late winter, didn't happen. And they are happening towards, you know, the midsummer and onwards now. I know that that was, you know, it's been obviously affected everything.
Incredible. I when they announced in July they were going to do 40 movies, I was very skeptical. I thought there's no way they can do that. How can they do that? But it seems like they're doing it. I can't believe it.
I'll tell you how they do it. It's called Canada.
Amazing.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsors for this episode of the podcast. They are the good folks over at Care Of, and they've been a sponsor for us for quite a little while, and we're very grateful to them. And they have high quality products, meets personalization. I think that's what makes them special. And all of Care Of's products are formulated with good for you clean ingredients that are backed by science, and they are super transparent about the research and sourcing behind all of their products. And you get individualized recommendations that come in daily individual wrapped packets that are perfect for getting back into a routine. We all are sort of struggling with that right now, and you have even has your name on it. They're very individualized. And the way that they become individualized is they start you off with you taking their 5-minute online quiz. And this quiz, it asks you about your lifestyle, your sort of your belief in vitamins, how you feel about that, your lifestyle, your skepticism, your health concerns, all that stuff are taken into effect. And then you are given with your recommendations for what you should be taking. And that's very, very helpful. And you can adjust your pack at any time. It's like having a one-on-one consultation with a nutritionist all without leaving your house. And I know when I took the quiz, I was able to narrow down to my sleep needs as being my highest priority. So I was able to get some of the Dream Team on the go quick sticks, and those have melatonin as well as other properties that are good for helping you to sleep, and they've been great. It's a wonderful service that they offer and makes things quick and easy. You can have it delivered, you can have it on a regular basis, or you can individually order your vitamins. Important for all of us right now with fall coming on that we fall back into a healthy routine. As the season changes, it's important to get ahead of taking care of your immune health. It takes about 30 days for your body to adapt to new nutrients. So now is a great time to update your vitamin and wellness routines to help support your immune system this fall. Caravage products go beyond vitamins and supplements to include protein powders and boosts to help supplement your workouts as you move indoors in the colder months. So you will really find it helpful. For 50% off your first Caravage order, go to takecareof.com, enter code HALLMARKIES50. That's new code. So go to takecareof.com, enter code HALLMARKIES50.
Well, let's talk Christmas with the Darlings. And so that's coming up on the 8th. And Katrina, why don't you tell us a little bit about the movie?
Okay. So I play Jessica Liu, who is the executive assistant to Charles Darlington, who is the CEO of Darlington Corporation. And I have just put in my 2 weeks for the Christmas holidays, and I'm going to be coming back to the same company and working in a new capacity as an attorney for the company. But then I find out that Charles Darlington, his niece and his nieces and nephew who have been orphaned and living in Australia are now coming back to the United States to stay with him. But being how he can't take care of them, he's about to send them off to boarding school, which is just a terrible idea to Jessica. So she
Terrible, horrible
idea. So she decides to kind of volunteer to watch them over the Christmas holidays. And much to her surprise, and also to Charles Darlington, his younger brother, Max, who is the oh so sweet, lovable, yet slightly irresponsible younger brother, decides to help volunteer to watch them as well. And then of course, connections are made, discoveries are made, and then possible connection at the end. Watch and find out.
Yay. So does this have anything to do with like Peter Pan at all? Or is that just a same? Because I thought when I heard the Darlings, I thought, because that's their last name.
Darlington. I'll tell you where it is. The original title was A Family Through Christmas. And then it got renamed Christmas with the Darlings. And I don't know why. I guess. I mean, it's an adorable title. But Darlington is the name of the street where my my grandma and grandpa lived on. And I always thought it was a cute name. And I wanted to use, that's literally the whole sort of backstory for the name Darlington was my grandma and grandpa's street.
Okay.
And I thought maybe there was
like a, with it being about kids and stuff, I thought, oh, is this like some kind of Peter Pan kind of connection or something like
in
that?
In hindsight, Max, the character of Max does actually have a little bit of the Peter Pan syndrome. so maybe played by Carla Marx. Like,
yeah.
What'd you say? Are you Wendy? And you're a little Wendy.
Yeah.
You are a little bit like Wendy. Yeah.
So Tracy, how did you get this idea and come up with the script?
Okay. So this idea was something that I had when I was in college, believe it or not. And it was originally called in my head, The Aussies and Uncle Max. And it was, you know, there were six kids and it was this, you know, massive mansion and all this stuff. I was going to write it. And it just was one of those stories that always kind of stuck with me, that, you know, as writers and creators, you come up with a story and sometimes they don't happen exactly when you think they're going to happen. But cut to many years later, and I was just sitting down, I had been doing a lot of sort of pinch hitting rewrites for the network, and I just thought, well, I would like to do one that is an original idea, and come up with a few, and they're still sort of bouncing around, but this one was one I thought, you know, I feel like this feels like Hallmark, you know, this feels like it could really be Hallmark. And by the that time, and I had gone back to the story a few times over the years, and that's when the Jessica character sort of popped in, because I was like, I don't want it to just be about a guy with kids. And then the more I started getting into it, it was like the more about like, well, the Jessica character being sort of this person and coming into this world, and then just sort of seeing it from, and then she, her character was kind of more Sabrina-esque a little bit, like coming in, because I also love the movie Sabrina, and I always felt like William Holden's character and Sabrina was the more interesting character than the Humphrey Bogart character. And I always thought that, you know, Sabrina and her would those, that would be a better match. And so I always kind of wanted those two to get together. And this is kind of, you know, I don't know how, I haven't seen the final product. Oh, I can see it. So, because
yeah, he's like the younger kind of, he's the younger brother that's a kind of a bit of a playboy type. And and now he's helping with these kids and stuff, and so I can see that connection. I for Sabrina, I mean, I love Audrey Hepburn; she's a goddess. But I actually kind of like the remake a little bit better than the original.
What?
I know, shocking.
Because of Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Is it Harrison Ford or is, yeah?
Yes. Okay. I mean, I love Harrison Ford. But I don't know. I feel like Humphrey Bogart is so disengaged in that movie. I don't think he wanted to be in it. I don't think there's any chemistry between him and Audrey Hepburn. And I just think there's more between, and I like the transformation with Julie Ormond's character and the way that she talks about Paris and La Vie en Rose and all that stuff. Like, I don't know, I just really like it. And maybe it's partly because I saw that first and then I saw the older one.
Oh. It's 100% because you saw that first.
Yeah.
I can feel Tracy like dying during this conversation right now. Like, oh.
But yeah.
I am such an Audrey Hepburn fan.
I love her too. If you could see my my main entry room, whatever, has three framed Audrey Hepburn posters with My Fair Lady, Funny Face, and Breakfast at Tiffany's all on the wall. So yeah. I'm a huge fan. Aww. But I love that. I love the Harrison Ford one. I really do. But anyway,
yeah.
But that sounds fun. And so, Katrina, we haven't seen you in Hallmark for 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And so we've missed you. And we're so glad to have you back.
Yeah, it's fun to be back. I've been trying to do another Hallmark movie for years now, but due to timing, scheduling, whatever, it just never worked out.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, when
Tracy, been busy.
when Tracy asked me if I wanted to be a part of this one, of course, it was a resounding yes, because almost anything for Tracy.
Yeah.
And then the script, you know, I think Tracy, don't tell her I'm saying this, but I think she's an excellent writer. Mm-hmm.
We like her around here too.
So getting to be a part of one of her scripts again is a no-brainer for me, and I just knew it was going to turn out to be awesome. And hopefully I did her proud in this one and she doesn't cringe as she's watching it.
So these
kids, I'll let you know.
Thanks.
These kids and the darlings look super cute.
Oh, they were amazing to work with. Such good kids. The two young ladies are actually sisters. And the best part was Anthony, who plays the younger brother, just fit in so perfectly, because the two girls obviously had their own like secret languages and codes because they grew up together and actually lived together. And then having Anthony go in there and try to like be a part of them. They really did treat him like the younger brother who they absolutely loved and was yet slightly annoyed by in all the best ways. It was really cute. And we got along great, and they brought such a beautiful energy to set because, you know, it is a pandemic happening and everybody's a little nervous and a little unsure about what's happening. And you know, it's long days and it's hot and you're wearing Christmas clothing. So having young energy around you to keep you up pace and on your toes is kind of exactly what you need in the later hours of the day. And they were just great.
Yeah. So what was it like shooting in this time of COVID? Did you feel like the safeguards were sufficient? Did you feel safe? All the testing and the other things they were doing?
The great thing about this production, shooting in Canada is one, the numbers in Canada aren't as bad. So I don't know that I would necessarily feel, I would have felt as good shooting this in the United States, just because our numbers are a little more.
Did you quarantine up there?
I did. So my family and I, we drove cross country because I was quarantined in Jersey with my parents during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So we all got into an SUV, drove cross country to Vancouver, quarantined for 2 weeks, shot the movie, and then we ended up doing a 22-day road trip across Canada to come back to Jersey. And again, just being in Canada was wonderful because it had a little bit more, it had more normalcy during this time than I think anywhere else than where I am right now. And
yeah.
Also with the crew, this was their third movie during the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
So they were already a pandemically well-oiled machine. So there was no question for them how to behave, how to function, how to wear their mask, what to do, how to stay safe. And they obviously have been taking care of each other on and off of set for the past two films. So they were very respectful towards each other and the work. So while they would say things like, oh, these masks drive me nuts, or this shield drives me nuts, it would very quickly be followed up with, but if this is what I have to do to work, then this is what I have to do. And there were no complaints about it in that aspect. So yes, I did feel very safe. But you know, there's that thing of going, it is a pandemic and you are in tight quarters with these people, no matter how much you try to minimize crew and socially distanced, sometimes it's just impossible to do. So you really, really had to rely on people and trust them to not go out on the weekends and go to bars or party or see too many external family members or friends. So there was a lot of trust that had to go into it. And you know, I'm walking in and I don't really know these people. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of had to go off of the fact that this is the third movie. Nobody is sick. Nobody has gotten sick, and everybody seems to want to continue to work. And they all had the mindset of like, well, this is the sacrifices that we have to make now in order to earn income. So we'll just do it. So in that aspect, it was so beautiful to be a part of that. And I came out of it healthy. My family stayed healthy. So everybody on crew was healthy. And yeah, and the end result is we get a new movie for Christmas. So I guess it kind of worked out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, did you end up having to get tested a bunch of times every other day or every day, or how did that work?
Well, this is before the testing became mandated. So we were just kind of doing the check-in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll clear the sinuses, I'll tell you that right now. The testing. Yeah. It really does. And so you, Tracy, you didn't get to be on set for this one because of everything, I assume.
Correct. It would have been, I was writing some other things back here in the States, and it would have required schlepping and quarantining and so forth. And I just was I was disappointed, just, you know, but obviously there are bigger issues at hand.
Sure.
So, you know, originally when it was greenlit and I knew, or not greenlit, but when I knew it was for sure, I was really hoping to be able to go, but it just, it didn't work out.
Did you have other projects that were canceled because of the, you don't have to
tell us. Hopefully not canceled, but there were supposed to be two. Yeah, hopefully just delayed. There were two summer movies that were supposed to go this year that did not happen. For one of them was hopefully going to be set in Costa Rica. And sorry, my cat is literally scratching at the door right now, which is annoying.
Well, if they need like a little like PA or somebody for the one in Costa Rica, you can volunteer. I'll come down.
Yeah, right. I mean,
it'll be great.
Keith and Kat got married in Costa Rica, so I was all excited to like maybe, you know, go back there. Yeah. I was co-writing that with my friend Kevin, and I'm basically we were both like, yeah, let's go on set on that one. That's, you know.
Yeah, I'll be very diligent. I'll wear a mask. I'll be really.
I'll let everybody know.
Okay, thank you. Good. That sounds great. So, well, I'm really looking forward to the film. I think it looks very sweet, and I like Carlo Marx a lot. He is one of the saving graces of Chesapeake Shores, which I'm not a big fan of, unfortunately. But he is pretty good in it. I like him, so. I think it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And so we like
you.
like to end our interviews with some fun, silly questions. You might have done this one already. I'm not sure. I can't remember, Tracy, but if you'll humor me and do it again. Are some fun holiday questions. So we can get your answer.
But what if my answers change, though?
That's
fine. I may have to change my mind. I mean,
that's fine. I don't even know if you've done it before, so it's no problem.
Okay.
So first question, what is your favorite holiday drink? And it doesn't have to be alcoholic. It could be like cocoa or eggnog or whatever floats your boat.
Okay. For me?
Yeah.
My favorite holiday drink, is mulled wine.
Okay. Yeah. Katrina?
Of course it is. Oh, I have to do this.
Yeah, you do it too.
You're supposed to mute that.
I'm like, oh, tequila? No.
You have a hard holiday.
Katrina loves wine.
Literally. Okay. What is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
It's for me, my favorite holiday cookie. What is my favorite holiday cookie? I guess I'm just basic. Just give me shortbread with, you know, some green icing. I really like soft shortbread. I'll probably come up with something really more interesting later as I'm driving somewhere and thinking, oh, it should have been this. But really, I just, when it's Christmas cookies, I'll indulge in that.
You taking notes, Katrina?
Mm.
Sugar cookies. What about you? What's your favorite?
So I have a new favorite because I just baked it for the first time this year, but I don't know how you say it. It's either challah bread or challah bread.
Challah
bread.
Were you a quarantine baker?
Yeah.
To the baking. Good.
This thing.
I was quarantine candle maker. That's what I got into. Yeah. Making
Basically
candle.
Deep into the quarantine hole.
I did. Not unlike what my everyday life is, but somehow just it was a little extra.
Yeah.
So I'm making my own candles.
That sounds good.
And I want to try your challah.
Yeah. Oh, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. My dad liked it. So
really?
That sounds really good. Okay. And you can be any part. It can be, I don't know, if you celebrate Hanukkah, it can be Hanukkah. It doesn't have to be Christmas. Okay. So what is your favorite holiday Christmas song or carol?
Christmas song. I think I love Carol of the Bells. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, you know, just, and it's specifically, I think it's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir's version of it that was in Home Alone.
It's from right here in Utah.
So, yeah. That's right.
That's right.
Shout out to Utah.
Yes. Katrina, what about you?
So old school one is Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then the new one is the Mariah Carey All I Want For.
Oh,
classic.
Wait, sorry, completely. I'm moving. You're right. I don't know what I was thinking. Okay, Carol of the Bells 2. Mariah Carey is number one. I amend my previous answer because this is the thing. I will dance around like a goofball every time that song comes on.
Yeah, it's so good.
She's the queen of Christmas, so we have to be loud. All right. Do you have a favorite classic Christmas movie?
I always love It's a Wonderful Life. Mm-hmm. That's it for me, even though it begins with a suicide.
I was just going to say, the best holiday film involving suicide.
That's right. That's right.
Well done.
I like to begin. bring the room down.
Katrina, what about you? Do you have a favorite?
I have ties, so I'm all about Die Hard, Elf.
And I knew you were going to say Die Hard.
Yeah. Die Hard and Elf.
Wait, what was the second one?
Grinch.
Elf?
Elf with
Ellen Grinch.
Well, what's the name?
Will Ferrell. Yeah, that one's good. I like it too. I think you would like Christmas in Connecticut. Katrina.
I love Christmas in Connecticut. Oh, sorry.
Barbara
Streisand. Barbara Stanwyck.
Oh,
you need to see it. I think you'll really like it. It's very funny.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of the ancestor to, or the predecessor to, Snow Bride. Because she plays a lady who writes a column where she pretends to be super domestic, but she's actually not at all. And all of a sudden this soldier comes to visit and wants this like perfect American, perfect housewife meal at Christmas. And so they have to pretend, and she pretends she has this baby. And it's hilarious because these women are just delivering, that work in this factory, are dropping off their babies. And so every day it's a different baby. And the soldier's like, what is that? It's really funny. I think you'd like it.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I love that one. That was, yeah. I think I actually, now that as you were describing it, Rachel, I'm actually writing a book right now for Penguin Random House. And I'm, as you're going through, ooh, I'm like, wait a minute. I think there's some subconscious, you know, parts of Christmas in Connecticut that have sort of seeped in that I was unaware of until you just articulated it.
Yeah. I'm excited to find that book when you have to let us know when you finish it.
October 2021.
Oh my gosh.
Coming out.
That's awesome. Okay. So which is your favorite, Scrooge or the Grinch?
Grinch.
Grinch.
Okay. Clear lights or
wait. Sorry.
That's okay. Clear lights or colored?
For me, color lights.
No, I like those blue ones.
Ooh, okay, blue. All right. Snowball fight or build a snowman?
Oh. Snowman.
Oh,
I don't like pain.
All right. Would you consider yourself a good gift wrapper or not?
I am excellent.
Ooh.
So I am at the mall to do mine.
Who do you get to do it?
The mall. Yeah.
Oh, the mall. That's a good strategy. So Tracy, when you send me some of your candles, it's going to be wrapped pretty,
right?
I can count on it.
It will be so pretty. I've gotten so like.
You can request your scent.
Yes.
Yes. Your fragrance, Katrina. so yeah, you can
like your scent. Like you can put like your essence in a bottle, send it to her, and like make a candle out of it. Which I mean, I'm sure
you're wiping under my arm.
I don't want to hold you back.
You put like a little echinacea or something like that in there.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Here's my deodorant. with a scent of lavender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send all orders to Hallmarkies Podcast. all right. Last question. Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater? And what is your ugliest?
I don't. I keep meaning to buy one. Specifically, I want to get the Hallmark ugly. They have one on the Hallmark website. They have, mm-hmm. And I wanted to get that, but every year I get distracted by writing actual Hallmark movies, and I forget to buy one.
We even have an ugly Christmas T-shirt design on our, and you can even get it on a mask on our merch store. So you check
that. Oh, do you?
Yeah, we do. We really do. I'll send you the link.
Please do.
Do you have one, Katrina?
I don't. I'm waiting for somebody to make me one. I want it to be like hand knit something with like glitter.
You know what? I'm gonna send Keith a text as soon as this is over with and tell him to start knitting because he needs to get on that.
Yeah. That sounds good. Well, you guys have been amazing, hilarious, just as I hoped. And I'm really excited for the new movie, and we'll be excited to watch Snow Bride as it plays probably a ton of times on Hallmark Channel over this course of the holidays. So thank you so much both for coming on. I really appreciate it. And if people want to follow you on social media or anything like that, and do you have anything you want to share?
Yeah, if they want to send us ugly Christmas sweaters, they can send it to you and you can forward it to us.
It's a deal. All the contact information in the description section.
Yeah.
And you have Twitter, right, Tracy?
I have Twitter and Instagram. Those are the two. And I'm not super active on Instagram. I am probably a little too active on Twitter. I probably need to like slow my roll on that one. at least, but it's, and I'm going to try to be a little more active on Instagram as we get into the holidays, particularly with Christmas with the Darlings coming out.
Great. Well, we'll have that all down in the description section. So check it out. And you can make sure you're all following the podcast, Hallmarkies Pod, Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We really need those right now so people can find the show. And also, if you are listening on YouTube, please give this video a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. And thank you again so much for coming. This was so much fun to get to talk with you. And let us know your thoughts of all the different things that we talked about, either in the comment section or on Twitter. And we'll talk to you all, hopefully for your next, we can do this again, hopefully for your next project.
For sure.
That'll be great.
Love that.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Yeah.